This morning, it's really good to see your face in the place. And we're very thankful. It's very special. This Sunday, this Easter is very special for Pastor Kathy and I, because if you know, this is our first Easter as being the lead pastors here. So it's very special to us, and we're very honored that you chose to be with us on this very special time. And so with that being said, I just want to tell you, we're wrapping up a series here, part three in this famous last words. Now, I'll tell you this. If you haven't been to last week and you weren't at the week before, don't worry. You're not going to be lost. I promise you're not going to be lost, because each and every one of them are individual. And we were talking about the famous last words of Jesus when he was on the cross. There were seven different phrases that he said. We focused on three in the past 3 weeks. Pastor Kathy, a couple weeks ago, talked about, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Also, last week, we talked about, today you will be with me in paradise. Today, we're going to focus on, it is finished. And so with that being said, oh my gosh, I would love to hear those. You can go to fwcpo.org, and you can go to the messages, and you can listen to the messages anytime. And so, but this morning, we're going to be focusing in on those last words. It is finished, because those words of Jesus were so important. And words in general are important, right? Words are so important. Without words, there's no communication. Right. Even if you don't speak and you write it down, you're still writing down words. Even if you sign, you're signing words. Right. And so when I do premarriage counseling, I talk about the five potential marriage killers to prepare individuals for marriage. Colin and Izzy are here. They sat through those five things. And one of them is communication. Not that communication is bad, but see, the lack thereof is bad. And without the right communication, it could really kill and destroy marriage. And so, on the humorous side of words and how interesting words are, humorous side, words can be overly used big time. Superlative words are overly used in today's society. Overly used words like amazing, right? Everyone always says, that's amazing. That's so amazing, right? Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Did you see that? That was amazing. Did you see that shooting star? It's amazing. Oh, did you see that car? It was amazing. Oh my gosh, did you see that guy? He was amazing. You know, it's everything's amazing, 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 right? Overly used, right? Another one is, that's the best. Oh my gosh, that's the best. That was the best movie. My brother, he always says that. Any movie he sees, oh my gosh, that was the best movie ever. Until 2 days later, he goes, this movie was horrible. You know, and it's like everything's always the best the first time he sees it. I'm like, really? Was that really the best? Really? You're getting a little insight of my mind. The big one, that's unbelievable. Right? You ever heard him constantly say that? Oh my gosh, that was so unbelievable. That was just so unbelievable. It was amazing. That's unbelievable. Was it really that unbelievable? Really? Was it really that unbelievable? Like, I'll give you an example. We were having dinner with Lisa Triplett, and Jordan's somewhere in the house. We were celebrating his birthday, and we went to a local steakhouse, and we're sitting there, everyone's eating, and I'm not going to say who, but who said this, but I remember we're sitting there eating dinner, and all of a sudden, food comes, and I heard someone say, man, this steak is unbelievable. It's like, really? Is that steak really unbelievable? I mean, just say what it is. It's a good steak, right? It's a really good steak. But is it really unbelievable? Now, if a bald eagle in a tuxedo flew in with a top hat and started dropping sirloin steak in your mouth, now that's unbelievable right there, right? That's something you don't see every day. You can say, that's unbelievable. Now, that's something worthy of being unbelievable, you know. But really, it's just a good steak. It's just what it is, you know. But people overdo it, you know. Another overused phrase is, that's the worst. That's just the worst ever. That is just so the worst ever. Oh, my goodness. You know, Pastor Kathy and I, just a couple weeks ago, DYG went on a spring retreat. And they went to North Carolina, and they went skiing and this and that. So we surprised them because it was Juliana, our daughter's birthday, while they were on the retreat. So we remember we showed up the day that they were on the slopes. They were on the bunny slopes. Some were snowboarding. Some were skiing. And so we surprised them. We're like, hey, what's up? You know, we're here for Juliana's birthday. And I remember at lunchtime, everyone got together and were eating, and they prepared lunch. They brought lunch with them, the youth group. And I remember somebody saying, oh, my goodness, I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry right now. Do we have anything to eat? And that's not the way they talked, but that's just the way I heard him sound in my head. But it was like, I'm so hungry right now. And then they said, what is for lunch? I'm so hungry. And I heard someone, one of the workers, yell out, oh, we have ham sandwiches and peanut butter and jelly. And they're like, what? Ham sandwiches and peanut butter and jelly? Oh, my gosh. I was like, I'm so hungry right now. It's like my tongue, my stomach, my navel is touching my spine. I'm so hungry. I haven't eaten in like 45 minutes. And I'm so hungry. I've been skiing all morning. And that's all you have? This is the worst. Really? Is it the worst? Again, being stuck in the Amazon, that's bad. That's the worst. Being on a raft in the middle of the ocean with sharks swirling around you, that's the worst. You know what I'm saying? You know, I would say that is the worst. We have to, words are important. You know, words, those are the extreme ends of the scale. But see, the ultimate extremity, the extreme that Jesus took, saying what he said and the weight that he had with what he said, with it is finished, it meant so much. It was more than just three simple words. It carried a tremendous amount of weight. It carried so much because it meant so much. And what he did and what God did for us, this quote, you know, the resurrection is the exclamation point of God's love for us. That is God's exclamation point of the love of God. Jesus, the resurrection. That's how much. Because of everything that Jesus went through. You think about going from Genesis all the way to the cross. And what Jesus did for us to make that we can have communion with God again. See, Jesus was the bridge. Jesus brought us back. He was the bridge that we were able to have a relationship with God again and to be restored to where we were supposed to originally created to be. I like to quote Jesus and what he said about the resurrection in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. This is the King James Version. He said, I am he that lives and that was dead. I'll tell you what, right there's not too many people that can say that. I'm he that lives, and I was once alive, and then I was dead, and here I am again. He goes on to say, and now, behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus had those incredible last words, it is finished. He took back the keys of death and hell and the grave. It wasn't just so that we can spend eternity with him. It wasn't just that. It was so that we can have a good life while we are here on earth. That we can commune and fellowship with God. You have to realize this, that of all the creations in the universe, in the galaxies, however you want to say, that you and I, human beings, are the only creation that he wants to commune with, that he wants to fellowship with, that he desires to hear from, that he looks after. We are the only creation of his that he sent his son to die for. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves me. See, the words, it is finished, is incredibly powerful. It's three words that has so much behind them. You see, Jesus hung on the cross from 9 a.m. until he died, until he gave up his life at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And so, see, from 9 to 12, it was almost like the wrath of man from 9 to 12, because those were the hours where they mocked him. They gambled for his clothes. They ridiculed him. They made fun of him. And then at noon, the Bible talks about that like a icky darkness came all over the entire earth. And from 12 to 3, it was like the wrath of God on Jesus, the spotless lamb, the innocent son that did no wrong, his wrath on Jesus instead of me and instead of you. Jesus, even to the point, proves it, say, God. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because Jesus took it all upon himself. All of our sin, all of our shame, because he loves us. See, John chapter 19, verses 20 through 30, it says, proves of this, it says, later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. See, there were over 300 major prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. The very last one, he was about to do when he said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine, vinegar was there. So they soaked a sponge in it and put a sponge on the stalk of the hyssop plant, and they lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received that drink, see, that was the final prophecy, major prophecy that Jesus fulfilled. And after that was done, he said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Just like Matthew said during the offering, it wasn't Jew, it wasn't Gentile, it wasn't man. Jesus gave his life, willingly gave his life for you and for me. It was the ultimate sacrifice. He was innocent, sinless, his life for ours. Jesus was that gap between God and man. He was that bridge. See, John 10:10 simply says this. The New King James Version, the thief does not come except to steal. Talking about the devil. Talking about the devil this is. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. And I have come that they may have life. That you and I might have life, and that we may have it more abundantly. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about, are you living the abundant life? Are you living a happy life? Are you happy where you're at? New Living Translation says this, same scripture, a different way of saying it. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose, this is Jesus talking, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Are you satisfied with your life? Are you satisfied where you're at? Are you just going through the motions every single day? See, God has more for us than that. It's not just heaven. Yes, that is huge. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to negate that. I do not want to take anything away from that. But God is a God of more than enough. He's a God that adds to and multiplies. God never subtracts and divides. He never takes away. You have to understand that. So God desires us to have a rich and satisfying life. I believe with all my heart, Romans 8, verse 11 says, that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells within you and quickens your mortal body. There's resurrection power that we talk about. You saw resurrection power in that video. You saw resurrection power when we read the scriptures. That is resurrection power. But if you don't have Jesus, if you've never asked Jesus in your heart, you've never said that prayer to God to forgive you of your sins, and you're going to live for him, if you've never asked Jesus in your heart, then that resurrection power is not there. You first must ask Christ into your heart. Not joining the church, not joining a religion. I'm talking about having a relationship with God. And the only way to have that resurrection power on the inside of you, available to you, is to have Christ living on the inside, in your heart. See, I believe that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells within me. and quickens my mortal body because I shouldn't be here. I look and I think of my life. Jesus changed my life totally. He changed my life. He transformed me. Some of you don't know, some of you hear me talk a little bit here, share bits and pieces of different testimony, of my testimony and everything. But this morning I want to share some stuff with you. Personal, transparent stuff. And the reason why you may see me relate to my notes is because I want to stay to a certain time frame. Let's see, I was born in New York City. At the age of 10, my parents got a divorce. After 10 years of marriage, they divorced. My mom was 25 years old. You can do the math. She felt like she had missed her life, so she said, I'm done. I don't want to be married. I don't want to be a mom. So, she, you know, my father left, and we were with our mom, but he left, and we were winding the clock 39 years. And so, just like the guy would do back then, leaving the house, so we stayed with my mom. In the apartment in Queens. And there's times where she would just go out and party. And there's, like, my brother and I, we're 3.5, 4 years apart. So if I'm 10, he's about 6, 6.5. There are times where she would leave, go out, partying, and she wouldn't come home for 2, 3 days. And then when she did come home, there were times that she wasn't alone. Mind you, this is still the whole divorce is fresh. Well, not even divorce, separation is fresh. See, my dad said that he wanted us, but so did my mom. But my mom's actions spoke way differently from what she said. That's why our words are so important. One night, my mother wanted to go out, so she brought her over to her sister's house, my aunt. And at that time, she had promised that she was going to be back at a certain time. She wasn't. So I snuck into another room, and I called my father. My father showed up, and after a big scuffle and not letting him in, they opened up the door. And I didn't realize that phone call would change everything. That one phone call would change our lives forever. Because when he picked us up, they opened the door, and we left with him. That's when everything changed. She had custody of us in New York, the mother would have custody of us till the beginning of a divorce. They're separated. And so she then reported that we were kidnapped. So that's what she reported to the NYPD. And so we had the NYPD looking for us. My dad, we were all on the run because we wanted to be with my dad. We were done. We were done. And so my father's lawyer found out that in the state of New York, she had custody of us. But the moment you crossed the state lines, because the divorce was a final, they were still in the beginning of the separation, he would automatically have custody of us. So with that being said, we packed up what little clothes that we had with us at the time, a few comic books, and jumped on a plane where my father's mother, my grandmother, retired in a little city called Ormond Beach. And so we were there, and eventually, you know, we got settled in. There were times where we couldn't go outside by ourselves because we would go outside by ourselves, or we couldn't even go out and recess by ourselves. We always had to have someone there due to the fact that she had people, my mother had people that were hired to kidnap us back, or with her thoughts, kidnap us. So they would cross the line of New York, and then she would have custody of us again until the custody hearing. So it was very challenging. And then after my dad received the custody of us, and there's multiple nights of just missing our mother, trying to get used to this new normal, everything changed. After the divorce was settled, she would start coming back around and desire to want to get back with my father. And even to the point of making wedding plans so they can get back together and get married. And thinking everything's going to be great. Everything's going to go back to normal. Thinking they're going to be married in a week or a couple of days. And I'd walk in and there on the table is a letter on a dining room table sealed saying, on the front of it saying, I'm sorry. She would leave. This happened multiple times. Not just once. Not twice. Not three times or four times. Multiple times. Even one time, they got married. They actually got married. My brother and I were the best man. And it was that kid's dream, the divorced kid's dream that, hey, my parents got back together. Only to be taken away 2 days later when I walked in after school and there was the envelope on the table again saying she was going to annul the marriage. So now I paint you that picture because of the bitterness that I allowed to rise up, or not the hatred, but just the bitterness toward my mother. So I fast forward 10 years. 10 years. Now, before I 10 years, during this time, there was a time where, when I was 12 years old, I accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. But going through this constant roller coaster was so challenging. I never, ever stuck with my relationship with God. But I did accept Him. So I fast forward 10 years, and I remember being on a youth group trip with Decision Youth Group, and, you know, Pastor Ray was a youth pastor, and we were at a Jesus Festival. I don't know if some of you remember those in the late 80s. It was 1988. It was a Jesus Festival where you would sleep in a tent, and you would get up. Well, who wants to sleep in a tent? Sleep in a tent, and then you would go out and go see different concerts and different comedians. It was just a great time with the youth group, and I remember sitting there and watching a comedian. His name was Pat Hurley. Never will forget his name, but I don't know. I can't remember what his comedic set was. Don't know. Don't remember. But I remember whatever he said, it hit me to my core. Then I got up and I walked down and I rededicated my life to the Lord. And from that moment on, I did everything I possibly could to serve Him. I gave up my bitterness. I gave up my resentment toward my mom, and I forgave her. And a 10-year journey from that point on of, you know, getting involved here at the church and the music ministry and the youth and going to Bible college and coming back. And then I get married in 1998. We get married, and I ask my mom to be there for our wedding. And, you know, they have the father daughter, father dance, whatever it's called, you know, right? And then the groom and the groom's mom. And I danced. I took a time with my grandmother because she raised me from I was 10 on. But I took that time to honor my mom. I grabbed her for the second part of that song, and I remember pulling her over, and we danced, and she didn't know it. She was crying. Why are you doing this? Why did you invite me? Why am I here? Why are you just being so nice to me? I don't deserve this. And I got the opportunity to share with her about the true love of God, the unconditional love of God. That we are so undeserving, but yet He still loves us. And that was, those seeds were planted on our wedding day. That one day we would be able to pray with her where she accepted Jesus a month before she died, several years later. But I say all this not to tell you about the challenge, because, see, that was nothing compared to what was coming. That was nothing compared to what I was about to face, what Pastor Kathy was about to face in our lives. And if I would have allowed that bitterness, that resentment, that hatred, the biggest, the most important time in our lives, resurrection power would not have been able to be accessed if I was living in bitterness, if I was living in unforgiveness and resentment. Some of you may remember this. Some of you may not. But I believe with all my heart that God says, you know what, you need to show this. You need to show them this because there is resurrection power. And we've talked about resurrection power. You've seen images from a movie of what Christ went through. But God says, show them true resurrection power and how I'm still working miracles today. 14 years ago, I made this video for my daughter. Some of you are going to see it for the first time. Some of you are going to see it again. But I know it's going to encourage you. Go ahead and roll that, Maggie.
My heart is to feel you near, and I
there is proof that there's resurrection power. And there's probably children here. I'm sorry, but I just say, you know, you walk outside, that bunny that's walking around, the fake one, not the ones that are out there. The bunny that's walking around, that is Juliana. And, you know, she's out there and she, you know, just, she is totally normal. And so you see the potential, you see resurrection power. An example, we're just not reading stories about what happened in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. You see a visual. You can go on Facebook. You can go on Facebook and check out Ozzy and Susan's Facebook, and you'll see resurrection power. Their daughter's is home. How long has it been? 50 days? 54 days? 69 days? 69 days being in the neonatal home. Praise the Lord. Resurrection power. Testimonies. I want to, I said, God, why share this now? Why share this? I've never shared this with the church before. Pastor Kathy did one time several years ago. You know, why now? Because people need to be stirred up. Do not give up. Do not give up. Do not give in. Because listen, there are people in your life that have not even come in your life yet. There are people who are going to, there's people that are going, your decisions now are going to impact people who are not even in your life yet. Juliana was not even in my life yet. But I made a decision not to harbor bitterness, made a decision not to have resentment, made a decision back then so that resurrection power, all I know is that, you know what, I look at that little girl and I say, man, God is alive. That's a constant daily reminder of the goodness of God. And I don't get caught up with why did she have to go through that. That's wrong. Don't get caught up in the why. People have lost their way in the why. Why did that happen? Why did this happen? Why did it happen? Don't do that. Do not. That is a lie from the enemy. Don't stop believing in your miracle. Don't allow bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, fear to affect the people around you anymore. If the team wouldn't mind coming up, here, you've had examples through the Word of God. You had examples, visuals from images from a movie of what the little bit that Jesus went through to a testimony of resurrection power in today's age.